Sri Vidagdha Madhava, Clever Krishna, Act 1. May the pastimes of Sri Krishna reduce the miseries existing in the material world and nullify all unwanted desires. The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like shikharini, a blend of yogurt and sugar candy. They overpower the pride of even the nectar produced on the moon, for they distribute the sweet fragrance of the concentrated loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. The narrator speaks, "Why speak so many words? Gentlemen, gentlemen, please hear me. Last night, Lord Shiva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had come in the role of a devotee, spoke to me in a dream and said, 'O Rupa Goswami, O expert writer of plays, this delightful place is near Keshi Tirtha on the slope of Govardhan Hill. This grove, on the bank of the Jamuna River, is very pleasant and full of many fragrant, beautiful flowers. At this moment, eager to see the forest of Vrindavan, the advanced devotees, expert at relishing the mellows of devotional service, have come here. Devotees whose hearts are full of love for Nanda's son, who is the crown jewel of all youths, and who is decorated with many new lotus flowers, playful like a maddened cuckoo, the first teacher of perfect flute players, and an ocean where the sharks of the gopis' hearts play. The devotees here are all very fortunate. Here the gopis search for Krishna, and here, in this circle by the Yamuna shore, they enjoyed a great rasa dance. Hearing and hearing these pastimes of Gokula's master, weeping and rolling on the ground, the devotees somehow pass their days. Burning in separation from Lord Mukunda, these devotees are now about to give up their lives. O Rupa Goswami, please protect them by giving them a little of the nectar river of Lord Mukunda's pastimes. My mercy will give you the power to do this." In this way, Lord Shiva, the spiritual master of the universe, spoke, "I will now obey his order." The assistant narrator enters and says, "O master, having heard the prologue of your new play named Vidagdha Madhava, the actors now ask permission to enter the stage." The narrator speaks, "Dear student, are the costumes ready?" He thinks for a moment. "So be it. Although the poetry in my play is not very beautiful, the wise will take delight in it, for it bears the scent of Lord Hari. What wise man will not bow his head and respectfully drink well water that is washed to Shalagram Shila?" Assistant narrator speaks, "O master, please give us beautiful and elegant speeches, for this audience is so learned that it will criticize the demigods. What to speak of us actors?" The narrator says, "Dear student, why talk in this frivolous way? After all, ignoring their own welfare, the people in this audience are concerned only for the well-being of others. Although wealthy, well-educated, and born in exalted families, they are very humble. When they themselves are glorified, they become embarrassed, as if they themselves had sinned. All glories to the delightful virtues of the saintly audience." Looking at all corners of the audience with a loud and cheerful voice, the narrator says, "O dear devotees of Sri Krishna, the lion of gopas, beginning to walk on the path of the shameless, a certain actor now wishes to say something to you. The spiritual master is wise in the true religion of worshipping the Lord. Please forgive this rash and arrogant person." He then bows down and then looks in a certain direction. "O learned devotees, I am by nature ignorant and low, yet even though it is from me that Vidagdha Madhava has come, it is filled with descriptions of the transcendental attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, will not such literature bring about the attainment of the highest goal of life? Although its wood may be ignited by a low-class man, fire can nevertheless purify gold. Although I am very low in nature, this book may help cleanse the dirt from within the hearts of the golden devotees. Now, remembering the worshipable Supreme Personality of Godhead, I will show the sweetness of this drama. He then folds his hands. May the Supreme Lord, whose form is eternal, who is supremely sweet and charming, who stays in the glorious forests and pavilions of Vrindavan Forest, who is a limitless ocean of mercy, and whose heart delights in his Braj pastimes, always be pleased with me. Note, deliberately ambiguous, this verse may also be interpreted as a prayer to Srila Sanatana Goswami. Thus, it may also mean, may my spiritual master, Srila Sanatana Goswami, who is graceful and charming, who stays in the glorious forests and pavilions of Vrindavan Forest, who is a limitless ocean of mercy, and whose heart delights in Lord Krishna's Braja pastimes, always be pleased with me. The assistant narrator says, Master, look, the devotees now present are constantly thinking of the Supreme Lord and are therefore highly advanced. This work named Vidagdha Madhava depicts the characteristic pastimes of Lord Krishna with decorations of poetic ornaments, and the inner grounds of the forest of Vrindavan provide a suitable platform for the dancing of Krishna with the gopis. Therefore, I think that the pious activities of persons like us who have tried to advance in devotional service have now attained maturity. Please hurry, distribute the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. The narrator says, Dear student, I proceed very slowly because I fear the harsh words of persons who do not like the nectar of the Lord's pastimes. The assistant narrator says, Master, please give up this caution because persons who know how to taste the nectar will be delighted by your play, and persons who know nothing of nectar will ignore it. Of their own accord, camels avoid bango trees that delight the poetic pico birds. So the hearts of the audience will be filled with wonder. Let the play begin. The narrator says, Student, look, look. Springtime had arrived, and the full moon of that season inspired the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was complete in everything, with new attraction to meet the beautiful Srimati Radharani at night to increase the beauty of their pastimes. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur interprets this verse in two ways, for Lord Krishna and for Srimati Radharani. When interpreted for Krishna, the night is understood to have been a dark moon night, and when interpreted for Srimati Radharani, it is considered to have been a full moon night. Purnamasi offstage says, O king of actors, how did your ear become decorated with the flower that is the secret of this drama, the secret that I will arrange the meeting of Radha and Krishna? The narrator, surprised, looks offstage and says, Ah, was that saintly Purnamasi? Look, look. Wearing a red cloth over her breast, her hair white, splendid like goddess Savitri, and accompanied by a friend, Purnamasi, who is Narada's disciple and Sandapani Muni's mother, now leaves Nanda's palace and slowly walks on the street. Thus ends the prologue. Scene 1. Purnamasi enters with her companion. Purnamasi says, O king of the actors, how did your ear become decorated with the flower that is the secret of this drama, the secret that I will arrange the meeting of Radha and Krishna? Child Nandimukhi, by singing this verse, the narrator pleased me. Nandi says, Noble lady, did he speak the truth? Purnamasi answers, O girl with the beautiful thighs, the tree of my good fortune is withered at the root. How will it produce a fruit like that, a fruit that will make me qualified to arrange a new meeting of the beautiful and auspicious divine couple? Nandi says, Noble lady, if you are destined to arrange Rishabhanu Nandini Radha's meeting with Lord Krishna, then why did Radha leave the land of Gokul, which is so favorable for that meeting, and secretly reside in the sacred village of Santanu Vas? Purnamasi answers, Because she fears cruel Kamsa, my child. Nandi says, "Noble lady, how did the king learn about Radha?" Purnamasi answers, "He learned about Radha's great beauty in this way. Even if one carefully hides it, musk's sweet scent at once reveals where it is. In the same way, even though they were carefully hidden, Radha's beauty and virtues became known everywhere." Nandi says, "Noble lady, Yashoda's nurse, Mukura, brought her granddaughter Radha to Gokula. Radha then accepted the hand of Abhimanyu, the son of Jatila, in marriage. A more unsuitable match could not have been made. Radha cannot tolerate the touch of the hand of any man other than Krishna. Oh, mother, how can you remain aloof when this is happening?" Purnamasi answers, "Why should I care?" Nandi says, "How can you talk like that?" Purnamasi, laughing, says, "This false marriage of Radha and Abhimanyu is simply a trick that Yogamaya has played to cheat Kamsa. Radha and all the other gopis are Krishna's lovers eternally." Nandi joyfully says, "And now that Radha has returned to Gokula, you are free of all worries." Purnamasi says, "Child, what you say is true. My worry about Kamsa is now less, although now I am beginning to worry about Abhimanyu." Nandi asks, "Why is that?" Purnamasi replies, "Noticing that the black bumblebee of Krishna is fond of playing among the new flowering vines of the gopis, Abhimanyu has become jealous. Now he desires to take the golden lotus flower Radha to another forest." Nandi says, "Now Yogamaya will act." Purnamasi says, "Daughter, independent Yogamaya now stands aloof. Who understands her actions?" Nandi asks, "Is there another way to stop him?" Purnamasi answers, "Child, simply by speaking sweet and clever words, I will stop shallow Abhimanyu." Nandi joyfully says, "Respected mother, Govardhan Hill is appointed by King Kangsa to watch over the activities in Gokula. Why does he not become angry at Krishna for enjoying pastimes with Chandravali?" Purnamasi answers, "Daughter, Govardhan Hill is very proud. He does not think the king's order is very important." Nandi asks, "How did Krishna and Chandravali first meet?" Purnamasi answers, "Daughter, when they first met, they fell deeply in love. For me to do anything more would be to crush what is already powder." Nandi asks, "Noble lady, why do you love Krishna so deeply that you came to Gokula, leaving Ujjayini because Krishna was not there?" Purnamasi replies, "Daughter, I did it because of the mercy of my guru's advice." Nandi asks, "Does fortunate Sandipani Muni know you are here?" Purnamasi replies, "Yes, he sent his son Madhumangal to serve me." Nandi says, "You are very kind to Madhumangal. You gave him a great festival of friendship for the lotus moon that is Nanda's son." Purnamasi says, "Daughter, Radha is my great treasure. Please help her fall in love with Krishna." Nandi says joyfully, "Noble lady, Radha has already climbed to the highest mountaintop of love for Krishna." Purnamasi asks, "How do you know?" Nandi says, "Whenever in the course of an ordinary conversation she hears the name Krishna, the hairs of her body stand up, and she shows the symptoms of ecstasy." Purnamasi says, "Daughter, that is the right response. After all, I do not know how much nectar of the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert." Nandi says, "Noble lady, accompanied by her friends Lalita and Vishaka, Radha worshipped the sun god, and accompanied by Saibya, Padma, and other friends, Chandravali worshipped Parvati. I can only guess that it was by the mercy of these demigods that these gopis attained such love for Krishna. Purnamasi says, although they went to the forest only to worship the demigods, the beautiful eyebrowed girls of Braj found that love for Krishna suddenly awakened within them. Nandi says, Radha's natural love for Krishna made her friends fortunate. Purnamasi replies, daughter, on my order, please ask the skillful artist Vishakha to draw, for the pleasure of her friend's lotus eyes, a picture of Nanda's son. Nandi says, as the noble lady orders. Purnamasi says, then on the pretext of carrying a gift of Modaka candies, I will enter Vrindavan forest and delight Krishna's ears with the sweetness of two auspicious syllables, Radha. Nandi exclaims, noble lady, look! Accompanied by Balaram, Madhu Mangal, Sridham, and a host of friends, and embraced by affectionate Nanda and Yashoda, his parents, Krishna now goes from Gokula to Vrindavan forest. Purnamasi says, joyfully looking at Krishna, the beauty of Krishna's eyes surpasses the beauty of white lotus flowers. His yellow garments surpass the brilliance of fresh decorations of kumkum. His ornaments of selected forest flowers surpass the hankering for the best of garments, and his bodily beauty possesses mind-attracting splendor greater than the jewels known as Marakata Mani, emeralds. I will go to deliver these Modaka candies. You go to Vishakha. Krishna, looking ahead, says joyfully, I think a host of crystal mountains pretending to be these beautiful cows has come here. Or perhaps it is the Mandakini Ganga River from the city of Indra that has come, disguised as these cows, to please and serve the glorious Yamuna River that now plays in Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj says, child, you speak well. Look behind us at the beauty of Braj. He turns around. From Govardhan to Kaliya Lake, your land of Braj is very beautiful, like a great ocean of beauty, glorious with many palaces and goshalas. Krishna says, friend Madhu Mangal, my father and mother have come to me from far away. I should quickly go to Braj village with my mother. Yashodamayi says, son, why did you not remember to come home in the afternoon? The delicious lunch I carefully cooked is growing cold. Krishna glances affectionately at Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal speaks, O Queen of Gokula, please listen. I swear on the cows that Krishna is not at fault. He stays in the forest because he is attracted by all the playful girls. And Madhu Mangal's speech remains unfinished. Krishna, embarrassed, says in an aside, this fool will describe my pastimes with the gopis. I must signal him to stop. Madhu Mangal says, O friend, why do you stop me as I speak to your saintly mother? Krishna aside says, alas, because of this fool, I have fallen into a trap of embarrassment. Madhu Mangal speaks, dear mother, what I meant was, Krishna, who wears yellow garments, stays in the forest to play with his friends, the coward boys. Krishna, joyful in an aside, says, how could any other desire stay in my heart? Yashodamayi says, child, Madhu Mangal, it is true. Lalita and the other gopis all tell me, those boys harass us. Nanda Maharaj asks, wife, in Gokula, is there a suitable young girl we can marry to this boy? Yashodamayi answers, noble master, he's only a little boy. The milk is still in his mouth. Is this the right time to marry him? Madhu Mangal says to Krishna aside, friend, it is true that you have milk in your mouth. Still thousands of teenage gopis, greedy after that milk, drink from your mouth. Nanda Maharaj says, child, look, look. O Mukunda, fragrant like a lotus flower, her eyes resting on the handsomeness of your moon-like face, again and again your mother showers her garments with the milk flowing from her water-pot breasts. Nanda joyfully embraces Krishna and says, O Krishna, The great festival of your touch brings to me a cool sweetness that defeats camphor, moonlight, nalida roots, lotus flowers, and sandalwood paste. Krishna says, Father, pulled by hunger, the cows wait for me. Please return home. Nanda Maharaj says, as the child says. Affectionately gazing at Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda exit. Krishna, looking aside, says, The sweet, fragrant honey oozing from newly grown mango buds is again and again attracting groups of bumblebees, and this forest is trembling in the softly moving breezes from the Malaya hills, which are full of sandalwood trees. Thus, the forest of Vrindavan is increasing my transcendental pleasure. Rama says, My dear friend Sridhama, see how this forest of Vrindavan is full of transcendental creepers and trees? The tops of the creepers are full of flowers, and intoxicated bumblebees are buzzing around them, humming songs that please the ear and surpass even the Vedic hymns. Krishna says, Friend Madhumangal, staying here with you and the others, I will delight creatures at the Vrindavan forest with the sound of my flute. Krishna then places the flute to his lips. Rama with wonder says, Look, they are becoming the opposite of what they were. When Krishna, playing by the Yamuna's bank, kisses his flute, the waters of the streams become stunned and solid, the rocks become soft and melt, and the mountains, no longer standing still, tremble and walk about. Madhumangal says, Oh, wonderful! Drinking flood of nectar that is sweet sound of Krishna's flute, the cows are stunned with bliss. Now they were all sprinkling the flowers with great flowing waves of milk. With a hand he pushes Krishna and says, Dear friend, why be proud? By its very nature this flute makes everyone wild with bliss. You are only the flute's helper. A voice from the sky says, The transcendental vibration of Krishna's flute plucked the movements of the rain clouds, struck the Gandharvas full of wonder, and agitated the meditation of great saintly persons like Sanaka and Sananda. It created wonder in Lord Brahma, wrought intense curiosity that agitated the mind of Bali Maharaja, who was otherwise firmly fixed, made Maharaja Ananta, the carrier of the planets, whirl around and penetrated the soft coverings of the universe. Thus the sound of the flute in the hands of Krishna created this wonderful situation. Rama looks up and says to himself, Why does Narada, hiding in the clouds, recite poetry and play his veena? A soft but indistinct sound is again manifest in the sky. Madhumangal, looking up frightened, says, Help! Help! Run away! Run away! Sridham says, Fool! Why do you speak all this nonsense? Madhumangal, frightened, looks upwards and says, Foolish Gopa! Don't you see? Riding on a swan and accompanied by a naked ghost, grabbing many snakes, a four-headed yaksha or rakshasa approaches us. Madhumangal looks again and trembles. Led by that demon whose body is covered by eyes, all those demons are about to attack us from the sky. That's what I think. I think they are about to become Kansa's servant. Frightened, Madhumangal hides, placing his head behind Krishna. Krishna says aside, Why, attracted by the sweetness of the flute music, do the kings of the directions now hide in the clouds? Krishna again plays his flute. Madhumangal, looking and sighing deeply, says, These wicked demons are agitated, stunned, and frightened merely by the sound of my friend's flute. I am alive, O wicked demons, stand! By cursing you or by striking you with arrows from my bow, I will crush your bald heads. Shaking his stick, Madhumangal jumps about. Rama says, smiling, Friend, don't talk like that. These two persons are Brahma and Shiva. On their left are Indra and the leaders of the demigods. Madhumangal says, Indeed, and he sighs with relief. I knew all along. I was only joking. But you were afraid. Thinking the demigods were Rakshasas, you were going to run away. Krishna, smiling, says, Friend of the demigods, in others you see your own foolishness. Rama says, Look, overcome with ecstasy, As with 8 ears he listens to Krishna's flute music, Brahma rolls about on the back of his swan. When splendid with the nectar moonlight of flute music, the moon of Krishna's face rises, the ocean of the demigod Shiva floods beyond its boundaries. Rama says, just see how, after hearing the transcendental sound of Krishna's flute, Indra, the king of heaven, is crying in his heavenly kingdom. From his teardrops falling on the ground, Vrindavan appears to have become a celestial residence for the demigods. Krishna, aside, says, my thoughts turn away from playing before these elderly demigods. I will go ahead. He goes under some trees. Friend Madhumango, look at the sweetness of the forest in spring. My dear friend, this forest of Vrindavan is giving great pleasure to our senses in various ways. Somewhere bumblebees are singing in groups, and in some places mild breezes are cooling the entire atmosphere. Somewhere the creepers and tree twigs are dancing, the mallika flowers are expanding their fragrance, and an overabundance of juice is constantly flowing in showers from pomegranate fruits. Madhumangal says, friend, how can I be happy in your Vrindavan forest? I am always afraid some thug will attack me. I become happy when I see the 4 kinds of delicious food Gokula's queen cooks, food that charms all the senses. Krishna says, friend, you should bow down before the Vrindavan forest, which has ancient flowering vines with the power to fulfill your desires. So Madhumangal says, dear friend, everyone says you are very truthful. I will now conduct an experiment to see if this is true. So Madhumangal folds his palms, and he says, O flowering vines, I bow down before you. My friend is very hungry. Please give him many sweet laddu candies. She is carrying a plate of candies in her hand. Purnamasi says, O boy with a face like the moon, please take these candies delightful to the tongue. Rama says, smiling, friend, see the generosity of this ancient flowering vine. Purnamasi says, Balaram, everyone says that elderly gopi is very generous. Krishna asks, noble lady, which elderly gopi do you mean? Purnamasi answers, the gopi Mukura, O boy with a face like the moon. Here Krishna uses the word Jarad Valari, ancient flowering vine. Purnamasi mishears him and thinks he said Jarad Valabi, ancient gopi. Krishna says, why does she unexpectedly send these laddu candies to us? Purnamasi says, her granddaughter will accept the hand of Abhimanyu. Following tradition, she is distributing gifts to celebrate. Krishna says, who is her granddaughter? Purnamasi answers, her name is Radha, and she is delightful like the moonlight. Krishna, the hairs of his body standing upright, says to himself, in the talk of my 2 mothers, I heard how glorious this girl is. He then becomes very embarrassed and trembles. Purnamasi aside says, understanding Krishna's embarrassment, on some pretext, Balaram has gone from Krishna's left side. Krishna again says to himself, to conceal these ecstatic symptoms, I should change the subject of our talking. Speaking openly, he says, noble lady, this spring day is glorious with a festival of many ornaments. Look, these ancient vines are blossoming with many flowers. Purnamasi says, smiling, hear, O Krishna, the day of your festival is come. Thirsting to gather many flowers and leaves, the playful gopis will soon come here. Krishna, smiling, looks at her with crooked eyes. Noble lady, what is that? Purnamasi, laughing, says, playful boy, don't worry. It is not against your wishes. I will say what I mean. When the gopis' houses are empty, you and your friends will happily steal their butter and yogurt. Krishna says, rogue, why do you laugh? Look, those branches and twigs in my Vrindavan forest were broken by the gopis when they picked the soft flowers. It is your duty to stop them. Purnamasi says, Enchanting boy, it is you decorated with many flowers that make the gopis yearn to have flowers. How can I stop them? Note, this is ambiguous. The verse may also mean, enchanting boy, it is you decorated with many flowers that fill the gopis with passionate desires. How can I stop them? Krishna says, O lady with hair white like crane feathers, with these words you walk a crooked path. You will not renounce your allegiance to these offender gopis. Purnamasi says, handsome boy, why are Radha and the gopis now offenders? They will only steal a few flowers from your favorite punaga tree. Note, the ambiguous second sentence may also be translated, they will only steal the heart of you, the best of males. Krishna aside says, oh, why has destiny again brought me news of Radha? This news enchants my heart. Madhubangala aside says, why does the name Radha excite him so? Openly he says, friend, don't become so thirsty after this. Krishna, simultaneously angry and affectionate, says to Madhubangala, talkative friend, to hell with you. After what do I thirst? Madhubangala says, oh, don't be angry. I was talking about these sweet Manohara candies. Note, Madhubangala's words are ambiguous. They also mean, oh, don't be angry. I was talking about the beautiful gopis that have stolen your heart. Krishna says, friend, I misunderstood. But these aren't the laddu candies that are called Manohara. They are the laddus called Moktika. Madhubangala laughs. Friend, I would not try to fool you with a pun on the name of the star Radha. Why should I try to fool you? Purnamasi aside says, in truth, the Brahmin boy is teasing Krishna. His heart overcome with love, Krishna is now embarrassed. Now all my desires are fulfilled. Openly, she says, the star Radha moves in the sky, the home of Lord Vishnu. How can anyone in the world of humans attain her? O handsome boy, what is the use of longing after her? Krishna, smiling, glances at the sky. He then approaches Balaram and says, noble friend, it is already late in the afternoon. Please take the cows to the Jamuna's shore and let them satisfy their thirst. Please enjoy these delicious laddu candies. I will rest for a moment with my dear friends Sridham and Subal. Balaram and the coward boy friends exit. Purnamasi says aside, I should go and see if the picture of Krishna is finished. She respectfully takes leave of Krishna and then departs. Krishna takes one step and then pauses and says, friend, Sridham, have you ever seen this Radha, the most beautiful girl in the universe? Smiling with embarrassment, Sridham lowers his face. Subal says, friend, how can you ask if he has seen her? Radha is his sister. Krishna says, come, let us go under these kadamba trees by the river bank. Into pastimes of playing the flute, I will throw this heart excited with thoughts of Radha. Purnamasi, walking about, looks ahead and becomes joyful. Why is my child Radha here, playing and joking with a friend? She hides behind a flowering vine. The beauty of Srimati Radharani's eyes forcibly devours the beauty of newly grown blue lotus flowers, and the beauty of her face surpasses that of an entire forest of fully blossomed lotuses. Her bodily luster seems to place even gold in a painful situation. Thus the wonderful, unprecedented beauty of Srimati Radharani is awakening in Vrindavan. Not staying to joke with these two, I will go, hidden by these flowering vines, to Vishakha. Followed by Lalita, Radharani enters. Radhika says, Lalita, what is the noble lady doing? Lalita says, friend, under that tamal tree, she is making an altar to worship the sun god. Radhika, looking ahead, says, I think this must be Vrindavan forest, whose sweetness you describe again and again. Lalita says, friend, this is the banyan tree where Krishna enjoys pastimes. Radhika, agitated, says to herself, what sweetness is there in these two syllables? Openly, she says, friend, whom did you say? Lalita, intentionally smiling, says, I said Krishna. Radhika, again aside, says, Ah, this name charms the hearts of beautiful girls. What is the owner of this name like? Concealing her emotions, she speaks openly. I will go and pick those gunja berries in the forest. Lalita says, joking in Sanskrit, O girl whose restless eyes are eager to look at everything, O girl whose body is the abode of a splendor and playfulness, even the shadow of which cannot be found anywhere in the three worlds, don't enter that trap of flowering vines. The handsome and splendid demigod who moves in that forest, and who is dark like a black mascara, will cast a spell on you and make you his newest lover. Radhika, as if she were afraid, conceals her joking smile. Friend Lalita, you know that this demigod has you in his spell. Lalita laughs and says, Ha! Why would he cast a spell on me? It is you who are drawn to his splendor. Flute music is heard from off stage. Radhika, listening, becomes full of wonder, and she says to herself, Wonderful! What an enchanting sound! She is overcome. Lalita, looking at Radha, says to herself, For the first time the doe with delicate limbs falls into the hunter's trap. Radhika, with great difficulty, regains her composure. Then she says to herself, I must find the person who made the flood of nectar that is this sound. Lalita approaches Radha and says, Radha, do you trust me? Radhika says, Why do you ask? You can bear witness to that. Lalita says, Then my dear friend will tell me, why are you suddenly overwhelmed? Radhika, embarrassed, says in Sanskrit, What is the sound from the kadamba trees that now walks on the pathway of my ears? Friend, because of this sound, I have now entered a state that is despicable for a chaste housewife. Lalita says, Ah, it is the sound of the flute. Radhika, agitated, says, What kind of flute music is this? It brings no snow and cold, but still it makes me tremble. It is not a weapon, but still it cuts me. It brings no heart, but still it has set me on fire. Agitated, she says, I don't understand this flute music. Enough with this deception. Some charming mantra has been read by a clever magician. Vishaka enters, and she carries a picture in her hand. Vishaka, observing Radha, says to herself, She is transformed. Perhaps she was bitten by Krishna's flute. I will ask her about it. Approaching, she openly says in Sanskrit, O girl whose face has turned white, the tears from your lotus eyes muddy the ground, your sighs make your bodice dance, and the hairs of your body stand up. I think the sweetness of Krishna's flute must have entered your ears. Radhika, not hearing these words, trembles, and then she says, Lalita, it is that sound again. Lalita says in Sanskrit, O girl with the slender limbs, in the circle of the Jamuna shore, from a flute's beak comes a sound that is a Garuda that defeats the snakes of the gopi's peace, a Dhanvantari that cures the gopi's shyness, and a Gushyamuni that drinks up the ocean of the saintly gopi's pride. Radhika says, Friend, a great suffering has now taken birth in my heart. Only when I leave it behind will I be able to sleep at night. Radhika says, Vishaka, come. Let us go into the shade of the circle of blossoming Karnikara flowers in the courtyard. Thus ends Act 1.